Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Reading the first three verses. Psalm 103, the first three verses. The first four verses, rather. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And our subject this morning is saved from destruction, based on those words that we find in verse 4. The Lord who redeemeth thy life from destruction. This is what we will be considering this morning. Saved from destruction. And this is a wonderful psalm. Like all of the Psalms, we are studying the Psalms in our midweek Bible studies on Wednesday evening, 7:30. You're all welcome to come and to attend. But my intention this morning is to focus on Psalm 103, and in fact, really just that verse, just one verse of Psalm 103, verse 4, which is, it's one of a number of verses at the start of this psalm, and the main focus of the opening of this psalm is praise for God and praise of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's how the psalm begins, and that may sound strange to some people, because we often hear and speak of the Lord blessing us. The Lord does bless us with many things, many wonderful things. But we are being called to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. How do we bless the Lord? We can't give the Lord anything. God is perfect. God is holy. God is good. We cannot add anything to the Lord. How do we bless the Lord? Well, it is through praise. It is through revering his name, lifting him up, acknowledging that he is above all the Almighty God, the only true and living God. That's how we bless the Lord. And this is what this psalm is exhorting us to do. Praise God for all the wonderful things that he has done for us, for all his benefits toward us. We read in verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How often we forget. We forget the benefits of knowing God, even we as Christians. We forget why we follow the Lord. We forget why we serve God. We forget why we praise God. We so easily forget these things. Again, this psalm helps us to remember. You have to remember who you are, remember who God is, remember how good it is to know him and to serve him, because we so easily forget. Forget not all of his benefits, because there are so many benefits when we know the Lord. To know the Lord is always a benefit to us. That's perhaps my first point in introduction. Some people think to become a Christian, well, it's a real hindrance. It's a real drag. It's a real inconvenience to your life. That's what the world outside will tell you. I don't want to be a Christian. That would be terrible. But to know the Lord, well, it is the greatest benefit you can possibly ever have. Are we not always looking and seeking for benefits in our lives? Little advantages, little ways of getting ahead. Aren't we all looking for that? And yet nobody seems to look for the Lord. But when we know the Lord, it is the greatest benefit you can have in your life. The greatest benefit. because we know the greatest person you can ever know, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God in all his glory. This is an eternal benefit. The benefits of this world, they're only temporary. You have it one day, it's gone. This is the great benefit that we have in knowing the Lord. So all of these things are presented to us in just these first opening verses. It's a psalm of praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And it's a psalm that encourages us to remember, lest we forget. If there are any believers here forgetting why they follow the Lord, what is the point of following the Lord? Well, we trust that we will remember all these things by the time we are through this morning. But it's the fourth verse that I really want to focus on. There's so much we could have mentioned, but the fourth verse, God, what has he done for us? What is the great benefit? He has redeemed thy life from destruction, and he has crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is our subject. We are saved from destruction. And my first point when we consider these words, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, very simply, very briefly, the Lord preserves life. The Lord preserves life. That's the first thing I want us to think about. And well, I say this so often, but again, we so easily forget it. So I want to remind you that it is the Lord who we must thank for our lives, for being here today, for example, for being here with life and with health and breath. We have the Lord to thank, and the Lord alone. For this day, for every day you have spent on this earth, for every week, every month, every year, every hour, it is the Lord who has preserved your life, who has kept your life from destruction. And of course, the Lord is the one who gave us life in the first place. The Lord is the one who has created all things, created man with all his faculties, with all his senses, with all his talents. You didn't give these things to yourself. Of course not. It's the Lord who has given you these things. He is your creator and he is your preserver. He is the one who preserves your life. He has given you your life and he has preserved your life right up until this very moment. And this is very clear to us. And for some people, it's very obvious that the Lord has done this. Perhaps there may be some of us here, or maybe even many of us, who have been in situations in your life that were risky or dangerous or life-threatening, and you didn't know how things would work out. Things were not in your own hands, but it was the Lord. It was the Lord who preserved you, who kept you. Anything could have happened, and yet the Lord has blessed, he redeemed, he saved your life from destruction. Perhaps there are others who have been very ill, almost on the point of death, almost on their deathbed. While you hear of people who were, well, they're told by doctors that they only have like a month left to live or 2 months left to live, and yet they go on to live several years. Who is preserving their life? It's the Lord. It's up to the Lord, all of these things. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord is over everything. He is the one who is in command. He is the one who rules all things. He is the one who has preserved you to this very day. You owe everything to him. And well, of course, many people don't like to acknowledge this. Many people don't like the fact that God is ruling over everything, and God is the one whom we have to thank for our life and breath and health and strength. And well, in fact, one day I met somebody who, he understood that God preserves all of us, but actually he was angry at God because of that. And this was a very unusual conversation. This was a man who had been in the armed forces, not in the UK, but in some other country. He had been in the armed forces and he had been on many battlefields, and he had seen many of his friends die, many of his comrades, many of his best friends that he had served with. They had died, but he hadn't. His life had been preserved. And so he was angry at God, and he said, why is it that I have been preserved and all my other friends have died? So that is a strange way of looking at it. I'm saying God preserves us. Here's a man who's angry. I have fought in all these wars. All of my friends have gone, and me, I am preserved. Why is that? Well, how would you answer that? That requires quite a long conversation. But one of the things you can say to such a gentleman, well, if the Lord has preserved you in such a special way, in such a personal way, well, it is because God wants to know you personally. And he is calling to you personally. You know, in some ways, this gentleman, he has more of an obligation to know the Lord. Why has the Lord preserved him when everyone else has died around him? Why has the Lord preserved him? Has the Lord preserved him so that he can continue to reject him and continue to be angry with him? No, of course not. The Lord has preserved him personally because he wants to know him personally. He's calling out to him personally. This is what the Lord wants. This is why he preserves the life of any one of us, because he wants to know us personally, not just so we may have our life extended or live to a certain age. He preserves our lives so that we may know him. This is the point of our lives. This is the reason we are alive, to know him, to enter into that personal relationship with him. He doesn't keep you alive to reject him. Of course not. To know him. So, dear friends, this is the teaching of the Word of God. And he is calling out to each and every one of us. He was calling out, I'm sure, to that gentleman I spoke to. But he calls out to each and every one of us personally, even today. So, dear friends, we have the Lord to thank for our lives. He preserves our life from destruction. But my second point is this. The Lord saves us from the destruction of sin. The destruction of sin. The Bible, of course, talks a lot about sin. Sin is the most destructive force in the whole world. Do you understand that? What is the most destructive force in the world? Some people will say other things. Some people will fear bombs. There was a time, particularly in the 60s and 50s, when people feared the atomic bomb. That was the thing they feared the most destructive power. Others will fear natural catastrophes, earthquake, tsunami, and so on. But you know, none of those things are as destructive as sin. Sin in the world. Sin destroying things on a day-to-day basis. Of course, the destruction of sin is in a different way, but it is nonetheless destructive. Hurting people, corrupting people. You look at the history of the world, you see all the wickedness, the corruption, the greed, the lust, the oppression, man's inhumanity to man. You think of all the destruction that that's caused. It is sin that is the most destructive force in the world. And indeed, it's the first lesson of the Bible. Remember how the Bible starts. Adam and Eve, our first parents in the Garden of Eden, they had a perfect environment. They had peace, they had joy, they had each other, they had fellowship with one another, fellowship with God. It was wonderful at the beginning of the Bible. Now, what destroyed that? It was destroyed completely. What was it that destroyed that? Was it a bomb? Was it an earthquake? No, of course not. It was sin. It was disobedience to God. It was rebellion against God. And this is what destroys us, dear friends. Sin is so destructive, but God wants to save us from our sins. He wants to redeem your life from destruction. And you know, you have many testimonies of how the Lord has done this in the lives of so many people. You hear of people who were previously enslaved by their sins, controlled by maybe their lusts or drink. Maybe they were alcoholics. Maybe they were addicted to gambling or something like that. And it was destroying them, utterly destroying their lives. And then they met the Lord. They knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved their life from destruction. He redeemed their life from destruction. This is what the Lord does. This is the power of God in our lives. Dear friends, this is so wonderful. Now, I have to add this because sometimes when I preach in this way, or when people hear preaching in this way, they say to themselves, well, they dismiss it and they say, you see, the Christian faith is just for down and outs. It's just for addicts. It's for drug addicts. It's for alcoholics. I'm not like that. I'm doing all right. So therefore, it's not for me. But dear friends, that is such a mistake. That's such an error. If you are simply living without God and living for the world, you are heading for destruction. You are still heading for destruction. You know, if you are living for the world and you love the world and you want to find your joy and happiness in this world, that is the road to destruction. Again, you hear of testimonies on the other side. Testimonies of how people, well, they followed the way of the world. They've got famous and they have everyone loving them, but it actually destroyed them. How many times do you hear of celebrities? They get to the top and they can't cope. It destroys them. Then they get hooked on drugs and alcohol. Their fame, they followed the world. It destroys them. It's the road to destruction. You hear of other people, maybe they win the lottery. They get riches beyond their wildest dreams. This is what the world promises. Follow the world, get riches. And then what do they tell you? Well, it destroyed. It destroyed all my relations. I had so much money, but you know, it destroyed my life. You want to follow the way of the world? It destroys you. This is a sinful world. It's a fallen world. And sin only destroys you, dear friends. So don't say to yourself, well, I'm not an addict or anything. I can find my joy in this world. You are on the road to destruction. And ultimately, of course, well, we have to think of the very end of our lives and the ultimate destruction. And that is when we come to the day of our death. This is my third heading. This is the gospel message, truly. The Lord who redeemeth thy life from destruction, this is the God who saves us from the destruction of death. That word in the Hebrew, thy life from destruction. Destruction, you could translate it from the pit. Who redeemeth thy life from the pit. And it's ultimately speaking about death, about being in the grave. He saves your life from the pit. This is what the gospel is all about. Being saved from death. How can we conquer death? Death is inevitable for each and every one of us. It is the ultimate destruction of life. It's the destroyer of relationships. It's the destroyer of hopes. It's the destroyer of dreams. When we die, everything that we have, in a sense, is destroyed. How can we overcome death? Is there anyone who can help us? Well, yes, God has provided the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to die for us. And why did he die? Well, it was for our sins, dear friends. On the cross of Calvary, how do you see it? What do you think of when you think of Christ dying on the cross? An ordinary death? No, dear friends. It was Christ dying for our sins, as we've already prayed together this morning. Christ on the cross, he died a physical death and he died an eternal death, as it were, a spiritual death. the physical sufferings of Christ on the cross, they were only a fraction of what he had to bear. They were only a very small part of his sufferings. On the cross, he was suffering the eternal weight of punishment for our sins. We are all sinners, dear friends. I should have explained this in greater detail, how we're all sinners. We have all lied, we have all stolen, we have all coveted. And sin has been damaging to each and every one of us. And God is a holy God. God must punish sin. God cannot tolerate sin. God will not allow sin to triumph, to prevail over us. God must punish sin. And well, there is a choice. We either reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to face the punishment ourselves when we stand before God at the end of our lives. If we don't want Christ, well, you will have to face the punishment yourself. Or you trust in Christ and you know that he took the punishment for you on the cross. I believe in him. I know I'm a sinner, yes, but when I trust in him, I know that when he died, all of my sins were placed upon him and he has taken the punishment for it, for all of my sins. So there is no condemnation for me. I can stand before God with joy, with boldness, because Christ, he has died for my sin. That is the choice. That is why Christ died. That is the way to overcome death. We will not die that eternal death. We will not end up in an eternal place of loss. We won't end up in hell because Christ suffered our punishment. He suffered our hell for us on the cross of Calvary. This is what Christ has done for us. This is how he has redeemed our life from destruction. To redeem means a price. A price was paid to save us from hell. And so you see, the price has been paid. We are not redeemed by silver and gold. We are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. That's what saves us. That's what pays the price for our sin. It's the blood of Christ. So these words, they reach their full fulfillment in the gospel in Christ Jesus. He redeems your life from destruction. How is it with you, dear friends? Are you still going to reject the Lord? Let's just look very briefly at the second part of verse 4. He redeems thy life from destruction. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Well, I have to be brief with this. I could have preached another gospel message just on that second part. He crowns thee. What do you associate a crown with? Well, of course, it's royalty. It's with a king, with a queen. Dear friends, this is what happens to us in a great sense when we turn to the Lord. We are elevated. We have a privilege. It is a great honor for us to know the Lord. This is how we began, the great benefit. It's nothing demeaning. It's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, if you continue in your sin, then you'll be ashamed. Maybe you're already ashamed of something that you've done in your life, something sinful. Sin leads to shame. Turning to Christ, you're crowned. It's a position of privilege, a position of honor. You are elevated, dear friends. This is a great joy. And dear friends, it's given to us freely. When you think of somebody who becomes a king, if you think of Prince William, who will become a king, God willing, well, he didn't really have to earn it. He didn't have to pass any exams to be king. It was, in a sense, bestowed upon him freely. His kingship, he was born into it, you can say. It wasn't because he earned it. It's not by merit. He was born into it and he will become king. Dear friends, it's the same for us. This is, again, the gospel. We are saved freely. It's not by our merit. We become kings. We will reign with God freely. We are born into it, born again. We are born again to inherit a kingship, to reign with God forever. Dear friends, again, well, you can see the gospel is even there in just that second part of the verse. So, dear friends, this is my final exhortation. What are you going to do? Are you going to continue in your sin? The sin that will continue to enslave you, the sin that will ultimately destroy you. Are you heading for destruction? Are you heading for self-destruction? You know, if I can just share a little bit of testimony before I close, you know, this is what I noticed before I came to the Lord. This is perhaps what led me to the Lord. I knew I was destroying myself with my sins, with the things that I couldn't control. I was destroying all of my relationships, all of my friendships. There was nothing I could do about it. It was out of my hands. Is there anyone here like that? You know there is something in your life you can't control. It will destroy you, dear friends, in this life and in the next. Come to the Lord. He has made this promise. I will redeem your life from destruction. I will give you an honored life. I will give you a blessed end and heaven to crown it all. This is what the Lord promises to you. How can you reject that? How can you continue to live for this world with all its sin and destruction? Dear friends, turn to the Lord who is calling you personally. He will save you to the uttermost. He will save you from destruction. May the Lord bless these words to each and every one of us.